Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Love it or hate it, Christmas music is big business. Every year brings another glut of new releases, reissues, compilations, all aimed at people who may, for the first time all year, actually plunk down some cash for a physical CD. And every year, it seems there's a surprise package, a Christmas record from someone you did not expect to hear from. This year, it's Nick Lowe.
You gotta be cruel to be kind in the right measure. Cruel to be kind, that's a very good sign. But cruel to be kind means that I love you, baby. You gotta be cruel to be kind.
Yes, that Nick Lowe. The veteran British singer, songwriter, and producer, best known for his 1979 hit Cruel to Be Kind, and the much-covered What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. And if longtime fans are surprised that Nick Lowe has done a holiday album, well, so is he. So don't expect jingle bells. Lowe says the recording studio was a sleigh-bell-free zone. We'll spend some time with Nick Lowe today, and we'll talk about holiday music, but also about working with Elvis Costello and the first wave of post-punk music in Britain. And just because it's the holiday season and we wanted to get you something, we'll present another installment in our hotly unanticipated series...
That was a hit?
Yeah, but that's later. Right now, Nick Lowe is here to play a song from his new album called Quality Street, a seasonal selection for all the family. This is called North Pole Express.
Down at the station, lights all aglow. Eight reindeer engines all raring to go. There she stands in the land of ice and snow. The North Pole Express, loaded with toys up to the caboose. Huffing and a puffing, can't wait to cut loose. The mighty power eight reindeer rockets produce. The North Pole Express, there she goes. Look at those deer feet fly, kicking out sparks from the tracks in the sky. Streaking along at a cracking pace. Look at that smile on the driver's face. Long about a midnight he'll be checking in. Dropping off your presents with a great big grin. You can hear him shout through the whiskers on his chin. All aboard North Pole Express. There she goes, just look at those deer feet fly, kicking out sparks from the tracks in the sky. Streaking along at a cracking pace. Look at that smile on the engineer's face. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Long about a midnight you'll be checking a honey hint. Dropping off your presents with a great big grin. You can hear him shout through the whiskers on his chin. Ho, 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 North Pole Express. There she goes. Whoa, 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 whoa. Here he comes. Whoa, 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 whoa. Here he comes, here he comes, here he comes. Whoa, 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 whoa. Doors to manual and cross-check.
That is Nick Lowe, live on Soundcheck, with a song called North Pole Express, one of the tracks from his album Quality Street, a seasonal selection for all the family. Nick, for a Brit, this is a very American-sounding song, as much of this record is.
Yes, I think you're right. The Brits have a lot of trouble with Christmas records. In fact, when I was first approached to do this, I had a very sort of snooty and highfalutin sort of reaction to it, and that was quite confusing to me, because I love Christmas music. We play it in our household from the beginning of December through to sort of New Year, but I suppose I always thought I was a bit too grand and, you know, arty crafty to ever soil my hands with this kind of work myself. After I, you know, asked myself why I had this rather snobby sort of reaction to just being asked about it, mm-hmm. Of course I realised it was ridiculous, and it would be a great opportunity to try and do something that was actually good and might stand some people digging it out for next Christmas,
right,
and the Christmas
right.
after and the Christmas after, because most people just do the same 12 songs, you know.
So you didn't do, for the most part, the same 12 songs, although there's a pretty neat arrangement of Silent Night,
very kind of
Memphis soul instead of that Austrian church where it was originally written.
Silent Night, all is calm, all is bright, round young virgin, mother and child.
But that seems to be part and parcel. I mean, this piece, North Pole Express, puts me in mind of songs like Move It On Over, you know, early rock and roll, rockabilly, R&B, those sounds.
Well, we found that one, because that was the idea, was to try and find tunes that were not very well known.
Mm-hmm.
And that song actually, we found, it came from, there was a kids' label in the 50s called Peter Pan, and they used to do exclusively kids' songs. It was like, sort of a bit like Mr. Rogers, you
right,
know, that,
right.
that kind of thing. And when you hear the original, it's quite, you know, primary colours, shall we say. It hasn't, but we put that little rockabilly beat to it, and it's a pretty cool little tune.
Yeah. Nick Lowe's album is called Quality Street, a seasonal selection for all the family. Now, you have been known as someone who, you know, whose titles can be playful. What's going on with Quality Street?
Quality Street is... In the UK, it's a make of candies, you know, toffees and chocolates, that I think they make them throughout the year, but at Christmas time, they are absolutely everywhere. Mm. Every single house you go into has got a box of these things, and they're sort of wrapped in brightly coloured paper. My favourite happens to be the green triangle. if anyone's interested, which I doubt very much if they are.
It's a pretty obscure reference.
Yes. Yes.
Even for the Anglophiles listening, it's like, okay, Quality Street is a candy. And the title of this album. So in picking this, you know, we have the Whitman sampler, which is like, you know, sort of a modest grade of chocolates. And, you know, it's like a... They're in every drugstore, and people give them, you know, at Christmas time. So is this...
It sounds rather austere somehow. Quality Street, a little bit more cheerful, it sounds.
Well, but, you know, people now use the term a Whitman sampler to mean, you know, a collection of diverse things that have all been put together. And it's, you know...
Why
so if you're
going to
use your English, you know, analogies, I'm going to throw in an American one here.
Why? I wonder why I've never encountered it before. It's rather fabulous. A Whitman sampler.
A Whitman sampler.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
just walk to the down the block to the next drugstore. I guarantee you, at the height of the holiday season like this, you'll find a big pile of them. So was that what you were looking for? Was it kind of a sampler of holiday music, of different... styles and different moods?
Yes, that's precisely it. And and also songs that are, to get back to your original question, nearly all of them were from America, where you guys seem to embrace this so wholeheartedly, you know, where the Brits seem to be much more, they're a bit more eye-rolly about the whole thing, you know, and say, oh, blimey,
we're eye-rolly too. We just, you know, that's what we do in public, and then we go home and we put on the Raycon if Singer is doing.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness for that.
Yeah.
they over there, they tend to think, you know, oh, not another chestnut roasting on an open fire. You know,
yeah.
If it's not Nat King Cole and or Mel Torme, then...
Well, now, you do a version on the record of Rise Up, Shepherd, and Follow. Mm. Great old spiritual from, like, the mid-19th century in a really striking arrangement.
There's a star in the east on Christmas morn.
Rise up, shepherd, and follow over the place where the Savior is born. Rise up, shepherd, and follow.
What's going on? There's an instrument, almost sounds like one of those Near Eastern lutes that Ry Cooder plays.
Yes, we wanted to try and get sort of conjure up something a bit Palestinian, you know, for it. We heard that song. The version we were really charmed by was by the, I think, the Seeger sisters, which I think was Pete Seeger's grandchildren, I would imagine. It might have been his daughters, but it sounded like a home recording. Of these little girls singing it, and it was really sweet. It was only a few bars of it, really. We had to look up a few other versions to get
the full song,
lyrics.
Yeah.
You know? So we were just messing around. We wanted to get the sound of the souk somehow, you know, on it.
But that Arab marketplace kind
of
feel.
Yeah, that sort of thing, yeah. We were having fun with it, really.
So Ry Cooder co-wrote one of the songs on this record with
you,
right? Which one is that?
A Dollar Short of Happy, it's called, yeah. It's a super tune.
And sort of quotes several other very famous Christmas songs.
Yeah.
And you think it's about to go down that alley, and it doesn't.
Yeah, that's right, yes. I was speaking to him on the phone, and he said, "What are you up to?" And I said, "Oh, I've started doing this Christmas record they've asked me to do." And he said, rather characteristically, he said, "Oh, what do you want to waste your time on that, you know, nonsense, you know?"
Did he really say nonsense?
I think it was a word. I think that was the gist of what
that was the gist of it, okay.
Yeah. The next day, he sent me these lyrics, these rather fabulous lyrics. City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, turn a darker gray than any Russian playwright would allow. Although it's been said many times, many ways, I'm a dollar short of half.
Nick Lowe is with me on Soundcheck. We're talking about his record Quality Street, a seasonal selection for all the family. He's playing for us here in the Soundcheck studio today. So you did write some songs. I mean, you know, there were 12 songs here, and you wrote three of them?
Well, two and a half.
Two and a half, if you include.
Including the one with Rye, yeah.
Right. Christmas at the Airport is one of your songs.
Yeah.
Have you ever been stranded at the airport at a major holiday?
No, not at a major holiday, but I certainly have been stranded at an airport in the United States as well as snow did, and it was an extremely unpleasant experience. And this is just a silly song that, in fact, I had the idea for it about 2 days after I was asked to do this, and I was in, I'd been in Zurich doing a TV show with Mavis Staples, mm-hmm. and it was a really fantastic evening, and so fantastic that I was sitting waiting for my delayed plane the next day at Zurich Airport with quite a hangover, and I just started the idea for this thing came to me, but somebody who's heard the record, was listening to the record, said that it's about a guy who's trying to make it home for Christmas, and the stupid thing is that the airport is snowed in and they close it and everyone goes home and he's locked in the airport for Christmas. That's sort of the idea of it. It's kind of a suspend disbelief mm-hmm. a little bit. Mm-hmm. But somebody who heard it the other day said to me, well, it sounds like the guy isn't too unhappy about this situation, which I hadn't realized that.
Well,
that was a possibility.
He does seem to make the best of it, playing with the X-ray machines and things
yes.
like that, as we'll hear. You want to play it for us?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Nick Lowe is my guest here in the Soundcheck studio. The song is called Christmas at the Airport. It is a Nick Lowe original, and you'll find it on his holiday record called Quality Street, a seasonal selection for all the family. But here is a live performance in the Soundcheck studio.
Brilliant. Outside the taxi window, on the way to catch my flight, I notice snowflakes playing in the ever-failing light. When he dropped me at departures, it was really coming down.
deep and crisp and even. It's settled on the ground. It looks like Christmas, Christmas at the airport. All the planes are grounded and the fog is rolling in. It looks like Christmas, Christmas at the airport this year. Now the doors are locked and bolted. Let the festivities begin. The terminal was seething without much Christmas cheer. So I found an empty closet and I settled down in there. When I awoke much later, I was quite alone. Check-in was deserted, everyone had gone. It looked like Christmas, Christmas at the airport. I took a set of x-rays, they came out pretty well. It looks like Christmas, Christmas at the airport this year. Now I'm doing Santa's sleigh ride on the baggage carousel. At the airport, I should be at the table with all my kith and kin. It looks like Christmas, Christmas at the airport this year. Don't save me any turkey, I found a burger in a bin. Doo-doo.
Nick Lowe, Celebrating Christmas at the Airport, an original song from Nick's Christmas record, which is called Quality Street, a seasonal selection for all the family. The album is out now, and, you know, Nick, as I mentioned before, you have been known for, you know, kind of playful titles. There is a kind of a streak of humor in a lot of what you write. This, though, I mean, this album is a sincere, not that it's lacking in humor, but it's not an ironic record, right?
No, it's pretty sincere. I really was very, very keen on making something that was true to the spirit of Christmas. You know, I don't want to be sort of artier than thou, mm-hmm. you know, and hipper than thou. And I didn't want it to be cynical and, you know, but I wanted to have some bottom, you know, and have some substance and be good, but absolutely true to the Christmas spirit, you know, mm-hmm. big-hearted and, you know, warm-spirited, you know.
Now, you were saying just before you played that song that somebody recently said to you, well, you know, it seems like this guy's not unhappy to be stranded in the airport at Christmas. Does that happen, you know, that you write a song and you think you know what you've written and then somebody else comes along and finds a completely different point of view that you hadn't considered?
Oh, yeah, all the time. And even I do as well, because you tend to... Well, I do. I tend to sort of go into a bit of a trance when I get an idea for a song, and I can sort of work away at it and work away at it. Really, when I'm doing my daily chores, you know, in the supermarket or driving or something, I can be working away at this thing, and when you've finished it, you sort of stand back and look at it, and it's in my view, the best songs are the ones that when you stand back, you think, where did that come from? You know, you can't really see your own work in it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think I've been writing a song about something and then it turns out it's actually something else. But I really enjoy it when people get an idea about something. I read a review or something and they say, oh, he's written this amazing song about this and that. And I think, wow.
Did I really?
That sounds better than I thought it was.
Well, and you know, having the experience of having someone else cover one of your songs must be sort of akin to that, where, you know, Elvis Costello, did he bring something to What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding that you didn't expect?
Oh, yes, without a doubt. That's a good example. It was sort of a funny song when we originally did it, but he put that, the sort of message in it. He just managed to just turn it slightly because it was supposed to be an ironic sort of hippie song, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's been covered by lots and lots of people. But if it wasn't for him, you know, I think the song would have disappeared along with the rest of the Brinsley's repertoire, or, you know, like with many bands.
When you say Brinsley, that's the band Brinsley Schwarz.
Yeah.
That actually, you know, although it came out of the pub rock movement, had a pretty big effect on the post-punk rock movement there in the UK.
Yeah.
People like yourself and Dave Edmonds and Graham Parker and The Rumour and all that
yeah.
kind of stuff. Speaking of Graham Parker and The Rumour, you produced them as well, right?
I did, yes. Their first two records.
Right, so you produced Elvis Costello, produced Graham Parker and The Rumour. That's going back a few years. Has your songwriting process changed? I mean, when you look back at what you did in the 70s and 80s, assuming you remember what you did in the 70s and 80s?
Yes, some of it I remember quite well. Yeah, it has. It has. I take it, I suppose I take it more seriously now. I don't take myself very, very seriously, but I take the process quite seriously. And I used to, sometimes when I listen to my old records, which frankly isn't that often, but when I do, I'm sometimes struck by and frustrated, really, when I think, oh, that's such a good idea, you know, but if only you hadn't done that bit, and, you know, and, oh, if only that last verse is rushed through, you know. Whereas now I think that writing songs, and this isn't an original theory, I've heard plenty of people say this, but you've got to kind of listen. It's almost like they have been written before. You know, I've heard lots of people say this. It's almost like they're all been written, and you have to kind of reach down and pull them out of the air somehow. And it's a kind of a listening process. You mustn't be in a hurry, you know, to finish it off yourself. And when I was a kid, well, you know, you're learning. It's just a learning thing. Learning it like a skill, you know, you tend to sort of rush things through. And there's a few good ideas I had when I was a kid, which I think could have been better now if I had them now.
Well, they're still there. You could, you know.
Oh, never go back, dear boy. Never go back.
Nick Lowe is my guest on Soundcheck, performing for us here in the studio. We've heard a couple of songs from the new holiday record called Quality Street, a seasonal selection for all the family. Would you play something from one of your other recent records
for us?
Yeah,
I'd be very happy to, yeah, sure.
The song House for Sale, I'm not going to give it away, but if people listen carefully to the lyrics, they might hear allusions to an older song or two, possibly even to one of Nick's own. The song is called House for Sale. It's another live performance here in the Soundcheck studio from my guest, the British singer, songwriter, and guitarist, Nick Lowe.
House for Sale.
House for sale, I'm moving out, I'm moving on, this bird has flown. House for sale, I'll tell you where to redirect my mail. House for sale, take a look inside, this is where love once did reside, but now it's gone, and that's the reason I'll be traveling on. Well, the roof's given in to the weather, and the windows rattle and moan. Paint is peeling, cracks in the ceiling, whatever's happened to my happy home. house for sale. I've had enough. I'll send a van to get my stuff. House for sale. I'm leaving like I'm getting out of jail. Do 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 do. No 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 no. No, 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 no. The stairs are alarmingly shaky, and the carpet threadbare and worn. Fence needs mending, garden needs tending. How soon it's become overgrown. Whoa. House for sale. I've had enough. I'm gonna send a van to pick up my stuff. House for sale. I'm leaving like I'm getting out of jail. I'm leaving like I'm getting out of jail. House for sale. I'm talking to you because with time, care, cash, peace, love, and understanding, it can be as good as new. How for sale. House for sale.
That is Nick Lowe live on Soundcheck with his song House for Sale. And it is very much a Nick Lowe song, kind of a wistful number, but, you know, the allusion to this bird has flown, to the Beatles early in the song, to Peace, Love, and Understanding, your own hit song towards the end there.
It's pregnant with imagery.
So that's a much more recent song. You were talking before about the songwriting process having matured and changed, and that's an example of where it's at right now, right?
I suppose so, yeah. It's a sort of pop song.
You say pop song, though, you don't mean like, you know, Kesha, Katy Perry, you know.
No, that's...
We don't hear a lot of Nick Lowe on pop radio these days.
No, exactly. No, I write pop songs that aren't very popular.
Now, you said before that, you know, throughout the month of December in the Lowe household, you've got the Christmas music playing. What do you listen to?
Oh, it varies from, you know, the traditional sound of Christmas like Bing Crosby or even the wonderful carols from King's College, Cambridge, which is unmissable in my view.
And which is broadcast every Christmas Eve on many of these national public radio stations.
Oh,
yes, absolutely.
Great. Yeah. Oh, it was wonderful. It's a wonderful program, yeah. Ska Christmas, Have Yourself a Ska Christmas, you know, country and western Christmas. Uh-huh. Everyone, you know, has done.
Do you play the Bob Dylan Christmas record?
I not that much, no. No, as a matter of fact, I find it difficult to listen to a whole, which I shouldn't say this, you know, but to listen to a whole
artist's version.
Every year
I wrestle with this. What do I think about the Bob Dylan Christmas record? So I'm curious to hear what you as a fellow veteran songwriter think.
Well,
of
I
it.
Like some of it.
Okay.
You know,
but right.
Which I suppose is, you know, it's the way it's supposed to be,
right.
I guess. Yeah, but I kind of sort of like individual records, you know, which we have thousands, you know, of compilations.
Yeah. Is it different in Britain from here in the States and the way people buy and treat Christmas records?
Yeah, absolutely. It used to be a major talking point, what was going to be the Christmas number one this year, because, of course, it's a smaller, you know,
right,
country. And
and there would be, like, shenanigans, you know, people trying to push their favorites into that number one spot,
yeah,
on the top of the pop charts.
Absolutely. And the winner would sort of enter the canon of tunes that would be played in every supermarket and elevator and things. But I think the last one that actually entered the canon was a wonderful record called Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues.
The Pogues.
I think that's pretty much the last one, and that was in the 80s. Nowadays, it's all whatever Simon Cowell says it's going to be, it is, and no one really cares, you know, about it anymore.
Got on a lucky one, came in late 10 to 1. I've got a feeling this year's for me and you.
Nick Lowe's holiday record is called Quality Street, a seasonal selection for all the family. It is out now. And Nick, it has been great fun having you performing for us here in the Soundcheck studio.
Great pleasure. Thank you, John.
Happy holidays.
You too.
When all our dreams come true, you promised me Broadway was waiting for me. You were handsome.
You were pretty queen of New York City.
When the band finished playing, they held out for more. Sinatra was swinging, all the junk they were singing. We kissed on the corner, then danced through the night. The boys of the NYPD choir were singing, go away, babe. And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day.
Up next, the surprisingly twisted tale of the 80s hit Der Kommissar. Mario Correa joins us for another installment in our series
That Was a Hit.
That's next on Soundcheck.
And now, Soundcheck looks back at the pop charts of yesteryear and asks
That Was a Hit.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
They're coming to take me away, haha.
Our series, That Was a Hit, is all about unlikely songs that have somehow made it to the top of the charts. And our subject today is not just one surprise hit, but three versions of it in three different countries that battled it out for chart supremacy. I'm joined in the studio once again by Mario Correa, writer and regular contributor for Entertainment Weekly Live on Sirius XM. Mario, welcome back.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
So our story begins in Austria.
It does. It does. It begins in Austria in 1981. And that's the year that a songwriter named Robert Ponger writes a song for an Austrian pop star who rejects it. So he takes this song and finds himself an Austrian rapper, as one is prone to do, named Falco. And Falco at that time was totally unknown. He was just starting out. He's this white rapper. And he takes this song written by Robert Ponger and basically changes the lyrics, makes it much edgier. And they call this song Der Kommissar, or The Commissioner. And in Falco's reworked version, it's the story essentially of a cop going after drug fiends, a coke user and her dealer, in effect. And this becomes, in the way I guess that German language things do, just a perfect subject for a pop song. It becomes a huge hit in Austria and in Germany.
And it has this kind of interesting blend of kind of street German, English, you know?
Right, exactly. And in fact, it's funny because the English is the parts where the dealer and the user talk. Everything else is in German, but apparently like the sort of the drug personnel should be English speakers, I guess, in pop.
So listen to his, this is some of the original version by the Austrian rapper Falco of the song Der Kommissar.
Erzählt die Geschichte. Nichtsdestotrotz, ich bin es schon gewohnt, im TV Funk, da läuft es nicht. Tja, sie war jung, das Herz so rein und weiß, und jede Nacht hat ihren Preis. Sie sagt, to the sweet, you got rap to the heat, ich verstehe, sie ist heiß. Sie sagt, babe, you know, I miss my funky friends, mein Jack und Joe und Jill. Mein Funkverständnis, ja, das reicht zur Not, ich überreiß
was hier ist weh. Ich überleg bei mir, die Nasen spricht dafür, wäre das nicht noch Rauch. Die Special Places sind dir wohl bekannt, ich mein, sie fährt ja U-Bahn auch. Dort singen's
Radine dumm.
Schau, schau,
der Kommissar geht um.
That is Falco, the Austrian rapper, 1981.
81, that's right. I don't know if our listeners heard you rapping in German, but here I heard you following the song. I had no idea you were so talented.
I loved this song when it came out. There's just enough English in it to keep English-speaking listeners coming back for more. I have to say, the German here is not German. It's Austrian.
Austrians take on German. Yep.
Right, so yep. It's like, you know, in German, don't turn around would be... Dreh dich nicht um. Instead,
oh,
it becomes,
you speak German?
It becomes dreh dich nicht um. You know, it's just, and it's really kind of, as I said before, very street kind
right,
of.
Right,
lots
right.
of slang
yep,
and stuff.
Yep, yep. And in fact, the inclusion of the English was very purposeful, as you said, because he very much wanted to break into the U.S. market. And the song was released in 81 in the U.S., and it went nowhere. And you got to remember that 81 was pop culturally a very different time,
yeah,
here, right? So
yeah.
You've got like On Golden Pond is the top movie at the movie theater. And, you know, Luke and Laura have just gotten married on General Hospital. So this idea of like an Austrian rapping about drug fiends is just not good.
I have no idea what you're talking about with Luke and Laura and Golden Pond. But this song, I was seriously
hilarious.
Into. And
yeah.
On, you know, remember modern rock as a
yeah.
radio format?
Yeah.
You know, there was a station here just outside of New York, WLIR, that used to play this song and that phrase, alles klar, you know, literally everything clear or
yep.
you got that or
yep.
okay. That became sort of a thing. You
yeah.
know, people knew what alles klar meant.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, alles klar, der Kommissar. And in fact, they played it a little bit later because of this reason, which is that Falco, wanting to break into the U.S. market, apparently encouraged English-speaking acts to re-record the song because now he was credited as a co-writer on the song.
Mm.
He changed the original and in fact, was co-credited. So a U.K. band that hadn't had much success, either really in the U.K. or anywhere else, really, called After the Fire, re-recorded it. They added English lyrics. They retained a couple of the German lyrics and that, and the feel of the song for sure. But they did a fairly, I guess, respectful translation
yeah.
And sang it in English. And lo and behold, they would eventually go on to have a big hit with their version.
This is After the Fire with Der Kommissar.
But it's not that I don't care, so. Cause I hear it all the time, but they never let you know on the TV and the radio. She was young, her heart was pure, but every night is bright she got. She said sugar sweet, she got me rapping to the beat. Then I knew that she was hot. She was singing, don't turn around.
So here, Mario, we have just the opposite. Just enough German to remind you of the
yeah.
original, but mainly for English speakers.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny because the original Falco version began in English.
Right.
You know, so he kicks off with, check it out, Joe, and then 2, 3, 4, and then he goes mm-hmm. into German. And then After the Fire version in English starts with German. In fact, why don't you do the German?
The zwei, drei.
Okay.
The counting, yeah.
Perfect.
It's just counting it in.
Yeah, yeah. And then starts singing in English. So they just had enough of the feel of the original to sort of remind folks of what it was about. But funny enough, before that song, the After the Fire version, became popular, something else was going on, which made the whole thing very confusing. And that is that...
Wait, more confusing than an Austrian rapper who's bubbling under the surface and this unknown UK band having a hit with the same song?
Oh, absolutely, because that unknown UK band, After the Fire, in fact, released the song, and it was not a hit. It flopped. And so the band, which had a lot of internal dissension and a lot of issues internally, broke up. They announced in concert in December of 1982 that they were breaking up. This is before the single became a hit. They just announced that they were breaking up. At the same time... Laura Branigan, who I was a big fan of. This is my world. Welcome to my world, the world of Laura Branigan, was recording her second album, Branigan 2. And she was just off the heels of her huge international hit, Gloria.
Gloria.
And she had a German producer at the time named Jack White, or I call him the other Jack White.
Uh-huh.
And he, being German, had heard the Falco version and thought, hey, this can be a great pop hit.
For Laura Branigan.
For Laura Branigan. Because remember, the After the Fire version is not existent yet.
Right, okay.
So Jack White says, we're going to record this song in English. We're going to completely do a different translation. It's not going to be about basically cocaine and
right.
running from the law. It's going to be about a woman who turns the tables on a player, basically. And so for Laura Branigan's second album, they record a version called Deep in the Dark, a completely sort of rethought version of the original Falco song.
So completely different set of lyrics.
Completely. The only similarities that she also retained the
Check it out, Joe. Yeah.
And then you hear the cha-cha-cha.
All right, this is Laura Branigan and her song Deep in the Dark.
Check it out, Joe. I'll tell you a secret if you know where to keep it and you promise not to tell. Got a tale or two about a girl that you could have sworn you knew so well. It was years ago, though it sounds like yesterday. You came on strong, and she gave it all away. Yeah, an angel's face, a fighter's grace, and an ace hidden up his sleeve. But never mind, cause love is blind, and she needed to believe.
So there is no mention of commissars, no mention of anything that's in the original Falco version of Der Kommissar.
Right.
Mario Correa is with us on another edition of That Was a Hit, our series about unlikely and improbable songs that make it to the charts. So far, Mario, we have the Austrian original that, you know, as mentioned, gets some play on modern rock radio
right.
here in the States. We have an After the Fire version sung in English that flops.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this Laura Branigan who should never, ever rap.
Really? I will defend the late, great Laura Branigan.
No.
Oh, I was actually happy with her rap.
All right. But how did this do?
So they were getting ready to release it. It would have been a massive international hit, you would think.
Says you.
Says I, and Jack White, our producer. And so, in fact, the single is pressed. It's ready for release in the UK, where it would be the first single from Branigan 2. And all of a sudden, this version of Der Kommissar by After the Fire that had flopped starts gaining traction on the U.S. charts, mainly because of a video that was interesting, kind of caught fire on MTV. So literally like weeks before this single, Deep in the Dark, supposed to be released as Laura Branigan's first single, the After the Fire version becomes a hit, and her record company is like, uh-oh. So instead, they decide to release Solitaire, which is another European song, by the way, by a French singer, Martine Clemenceau, that they reworked in English. So Laura Branigan has definitely got a system there.
Mm.
So she releases Solitaire.
I still remember how much I used to need you.
However, she'd already had the promo single out for Deep in the Dark in some markets. So there she was, essentially singing Deep in the Dark while she was promoting the album.
Check it out, Joe.
While the Falco version, because of the interest in the After the Fire version, starts rising up the charts. And so you've got basically then Falco's version competing with After the Fire's version on the charts. And then Laura Branigan singing Deep in the Dark while promoting the album overseas. So basically there's utter confusion about this sort of Der Kommissar pileup.
And pile up is actually not a bad way to put it, because in some markets, and I'm thinking specifically of Australia,
yeah.
something hilarious happens on Australian television.
Now, this is really a hilarious moment, and this is why you've got to love YouTube, because you can still find these moments, and they still live. There's an Australian countdown show that's hosted by a man who sort of looks like he comes out of an Australia theme park. He's got the Crocodile Dundee
hat.
Yeah. And he's wearing a coat that makes him look sort of like Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, you know? And he's invited Laura Branigan to co-host with him and tries to introduce the various versions of the songs that are out there and completely muddies it up.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
And what about your version of Deep in the Night? You recorded that 6 months ago or
something, didn't you?
Deep in the Dark.
Yeah, I recorded it right after. Didn't you just make a mistake?
I think I did. Falco's in the top ten and not
Falco's
After the Fire.
Falco's in the top
right.
ten.
Oh, and, well, there you go. So it's Falco beating After the Fire, everybody, right?
That's right. My Deep in the Dark was recorded right before After the Fire did it.
Right.
And we had heard their demo, and we thought maybe they weren't sure if they were going to get a deal or something, but they got one, and it went.
Now, listen, have you ever met...
So that is Laura Branigan, the late Laura Branigan,
right,
on Countdown Australia in May 1983, where the host is having trouble keeping track of which version is on the charts. He starts the broadcast saying After the Fire's version is beating Falco,
right,
and then Laura Branigan corrects him. This is after Laura Branigan has popped through the green screen
exactly
that they're playing the videos
yes
on, so she can do her live lip sync thing.
Yes, yes. They played the Falco version first, then they play the video, that is. Then they played the video for After the Fire, and then she busts through a green screen to sing her version. It's very dramatic. Oh, you know, and I, as a red-blooded American teenager in Bethesda, Maryland, sitting there listening to my Laura Branigan records, thought she could do no wrong. But now, in hindsight, I do wonder. But what's interesting is that this is all from a period of time when record companies really could segment the markets, right?
So this could not happen today, could it?
Exactly. So in the pre-internet era, you actually could say, okay, we're going to release this first in that market and then that. And singers like Laura Branigan, she wasn't the first, although she was one of the most successful to do this, would take hits that had been hits overseas, introduce them in other markets, the U.S., and do, you know, big stuff with them. Now, of course, with the internet, you know, once it's out there, it's out there. Everyone hears it. Psy has
right
a, you know, hit in the U.S. with his Korean, you know. So so it's sort of a relic of a bygone era.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite version?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that. Should I give you the what you want to hear, or should I tell you my honest?
Just give me the honest answer, and then I will correct you after.
You know what's funny? I really appreciate the Falco original. I think the After the Fire version has a lot of new wave fun that I just, you know, really brings me back that era. But I will always have a soft spot in my heart for the late great Laura Branigan, and I give her props for doing the rap, John, even though I think it's going to give me my cool factor is going to fall by 1,000% in your eyes, I know.
Check it out.
All right, now, Laura Branigan tragically died. She was not even 50.
No.
Falco was somewhere around 40
yeah
when he died.
Yeah, they
and
both
After
died
the
early
Fire, but so none of them, you know, in the long term did very well. You know, the story ends tragically pretty much for everybody here.
It does, in fact. You know, Falco died tragically, Laura Branigan in her early death as well, as you mentioned. And After the Fire, they had broken up by the time the song was a hit. CBS Records tried to get them to basically, you know, get back together, and they would not. So,
but before all this happens, we do hear again from Falco at one point.
Absolutely. He has a huge global number one hit with Rock Me Amadeus, another very unlikely hit.
I was just going to say, we have to do a That Was a Hit hit for this song at some point down the road, but we've been looking at Falco's earlier hit, Der Kommissar. Mario Correa writes and contributes to Entertainment Weekly Live on Sirius XM. Mario, a lot of fun. Thanks very much.
Thanks, John.
Es war 1780 und es war irgendwie No Plastic Money anymore, die Banken gegen ihn. Woher die Schulden kamen, war wohl jedermann bekannt. Er war ein Mann der Frauen, Frauen liebten seinen Punk. Er war ein Superstar, er war so populär. Er war zu exaltiert, genau das war sein Flair. Er war ein Virtuose, war ein Rock-Idol. Und alle suchten noch heute Captain Rock Me Up, my
I'm a dance.
next, find out what's under the tree on this fourth day in our holiday series, The 12 Days of Soundcheck. And before you get too caught up in the holidays, now is the time to enter the next Battle of the Burrows in the green space. WNYC is looking for up-and-coming performers of 2014, bands, ensembles of all types, instrumentalists, singers, DJs, spoken word, performance artists. The deadline for entry is December 31st. Rules and details at wnyc.org/thegreenspace. This is Soundcheck. All right, so it's that time of year, as they say, and there is great holiday music out there. Could be this Charlie Brown classic from Vince Guaraldi or the new Christmas music we heard from Nick Lowe earlier on the show. But if you're looking for a holiday treat without the seasonal tidings, well, you should be checking out the 12 Days of Soundcheck. Every weekday from now through Christmas Eve, we post a different MP3 from a great in-studio session that we aired this year, and those free downloads are available for 24 hours only. We have a bunch of great artists lined up for the 12 Days of Soundcheck, including this guy, the blues singer and guitarist Gary Clark Jr. Today, and today only, you can download this song for free at soundcheck.org. It's called When My Train Comes In, Gary Clark in the Soundcheck studio earlier this year.
Every day, nothing seemed to change. Everywhere I go, I keep seeing the same old thing. And I can't take it no more. Well, I would leave this town, but I ain't got nowhere else to go, no. Wake up in the morning, more bad news, and sometimes I feel like I was born to lose, and it's driving me out of my mind. I'm gonna catch the next train, then I'll move on down the line. Well, I'll be ready now. I'll be ready when my train pulls in. Boy, I'll be ready now. I'll be ready when my train pulls in. I know my time ain't long, and I can't live this life again. Walking down the street, you might run across a smiling face, but they'll stab you in the back as soon as you turn and walk away. And I thought is bringing me down. Well, if things don't change around here, ain't no use in me hanging round, hanging round. Well, I'll be ready now. I'll be ready when my train pulls in. Well, I'll be ready now, yeah. I'll be ready when my train pulls in. I know my time ain't long and high. I can't live this life again.
That's Gary Clark Jr. with the song When My Train Comes In, recorded earlier this year here in our studio, part of our online festival, The 12 Days of Soundcheck. You can download this song today only on soundcheck.org. Tomorrow on the show, Cheryl Tippins has written an exhaustive history of the Chelsea Hotel. She joins us to talk about the past, present, and future of a New York City cultural landmark and the music it inspired. Plus, the Sadies have been the go-to backing band for Nico Case, Neil Young, and others, but they're a great act on their own, and tomorrow they'll play songs from their latest album, Internal Sounds. That does it for the show today. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.